Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you for everybody who thus far participated in the worship service. I do appreciate you very much. I'll take this. Let me start with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask you that the words that are about to be spoken are yours, that the message ring loud and clear to us. Let us, Father, be courageous enough to apply this message to our lives today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Father, as we know, there is so much that we do not know, but we do have the Bible, that we do have that as a reference point, and we can trust that it says. And Father, I trust that all that we do is based upon what we know in the scriptures, which are divinely given to us by you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Young ones, the key word is lost. Key word is lost. I got it on. Okay, all right. You know, as Chandra and I were traveling up to Warren last week, Chandra was the pianist, and I was fortunate enough to be able to speak. We drove by a Methodist church that had on their marquee, and I thought it was just fantastic, put down Facebook and pick up Faithbook. Now, that motivated me, and that was very inspirational, because that was what my message was all about. It's important for us to spend more time with this than anything else, because the friends that we make through this are real friends. We'll not be unfriended by God with this in our hand. Now, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive impossible the very elect. In the end time, we can be deceived with where is up, where is down, where is right, and where is wrong. Is he Jesus, or is that an imposter? I can't emphasize enough the importance that this church get our arms around Scripture. We've got to understand what the Scripture has for us. We've got a great Friday night group that's going on that's addressing just that. We all should be part of that. There should be multiple small groups going on like that, because if we don't understand Scripture, we will also be deceived. You know what? Sin has always been around us. It's always been around us. But as I was growing up, it was in the dark corners and the recesses and the places that you didn't mention. It was hidden from mainstream society. That's not the way it is today, people. And you know it. Sin is flaunted today. It's held up as something to be admired and shown to the world of what we can do to ourselves and do to others in the name of freedoms. We see people going through life showing no regard for what the Scripture has to say. No regard for what is right and wrong. Whatever I do is okay, and you need to get over it. That's pretty much the message that I get. In today's world, we can still become physically lost. You know, even if you have GPS on your phone or in your car, if you don't turn it on or you don't listen to it, what good is it? We can become spiritually lost if we don't turn this on. Having it in a prominent place next to your bedstand and you not crack it open, you might as well not have it. Having it in a beautiful place set next to all your other study material in your library and you don't break it open doesn't do you any good. If we fail to spiritually refer to our compass, which is given to us by God as a guide to help us navigate the world we live in, well, we could become lost. We could miss our turn. You can miss your destination. A person who's on a journey that does not use some sort of map for travel will likely become lost or become disoriented. Both options seem to be about the same for that gentleman. Whether he go left, he go right, or forward, seems to be the same thing. One of those paths is the right path, and the other two are not. Sometimes we don't even know we're lost. We're sitting there following the crowd. Hey, listen, everybody's going this way. Everybody does this. Everybody worships this way. This is how most people think. If I'm in line with them, must be all right. You know, unfortunately, I find myself finding and losing my way during this life's journey. Even if it's just for a day, it can happen. Even for just a day, I can set my priorities to be not this and something else. The Bible warns us that we do not have eternity to find our way. Eventually, your time and my time on this earth will end. One way or another, our time will end. And if we have not found our way and not found that path, not found that compass that we need, it'll be too late. For when you see Jesus, it's done. You can't say, okay, now I see him. For when he comes, the choices have all been made. Everything's been laid out. What is, and what is not. How do we know if we're lost? Let's look at this. Where was I to begin with? Where am I now? And where do I want to go? I ask you, where do you want to go? Where's your destination? What is it that drives you daily to achieve? Where do you want to be? Not 5 years from now. Where do you want to be 5,000 years from now? That's your business plan that you need to be looking at. If I need to change, if you wonder about if you're lost, if I need to change my heading, at times you need to change your heading. In my life, I've probably made 3 or 4 major turns. I've been in that man right there. 3 or 4 times in my life making big choices. Everything I own is behind me, and I need to know where to go next. You're the same thing too. The question is, are we prepared to make the right choice? Do we make the right choice because of worldly pressures? Or do we make the right choice because that's what the Scripture, that's what the Holy Spirit has driven us to do? This man will make the right choice if he listens to the Holy Spirit every time. It may be the roughest road. It may be the rockiest road. And it may have bad men on that road, as our children's story had it. That doesn't matter. It's the right road. That's what's important. Not the condition of the road, not the temperature of the road, but the right road. The Bible teaches us that we must be guardful of being deceived. Jesus tells us that great wonders will be done by those that Satan is influencing. Christ says that even the very elect can be deceived in these end times. Who are these elect Jesus is speaking of? What does elect mean? You know, I looked up elect in the dictionary. Chosen, specially privileged. Do you feel specially privileged? Do you feel chosen? So if you feel chosen and you feel specially elect, and Jesus says that even you, even I, can be bamboozled by Satan and his wily ways if I don't pay attention, that should put a little fear in us, the good kind of fear. For Adventists, this elect is the remnant. So in the end time, the remnant could be deceived if they failed to know the true signs and believe what Jesus had taught and warned us. However, the good news is that we are told that in the end time, Jesus will put that knowledge in us. We will know at the end time what is right and what is wrong. We just need to be faithful. We need to stay true. We need to stay connected. You know what? If you know how a cell phone works, I know about cell phones. I know about cell phones. I've got a $1,200 phone. Now, I didn't pay $1,200 for it, but I got a $1,200 phone. You can take that $2 SIM card out of it, and that phone is useless. Doesn't matter how big, how great, how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how many times, how much money you donate, how many groups that you belong to, how nice you are to your neighbors. You need a SIM card to stay connected. You know what? SIM card. I got a SIM card, and it doesn't matter. I can stick it into any phone, and it works. SIM card. From the earliest days of a scattered group of Millerites to now 11 million plus strong, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has stood to be a remnant. Fundamental belief. You got to know your fundamental beliefs. I'm serious. I really think that we'll talk to the pastor, and maybe on our Wednesday night Bible study, maybe we'll sometime close in the future, we'll start going through the 29 fundamental beliefs. My book says 28, but there's 29. They didn't ask me. I didn't vote on that 29th one. But that being said, we need to know our fundamental beliefs. Fundamental beliefs number 12. Belief in the Adventist Church states that in the last days, a time of widespread apostasy, a remnant has been called to keep the commandments, to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So how do people know what the commandments of God are and how to keep the faith of Jesus? The Bible's the answer. It is here we have all the answers that we spoke of earlier. And what a successful journey needs. Now, I've told this story before about 3 years ago, and so if you've heard it, please forgive me, but this story I'm going to tell you is a good story. It fits perfectly with this message. It's about one of my hunting trips. My wife and I, newly married, lived in Rayburn Country and up north. And we lived in a little 18-foot travel trailer, and she worked for Rayburn Country, and I was a hairdresser in Jasper, and we just had a great time. Well, as is my want, I wanted to go hunting. Now, I'm a terrible hunter, but I wanted to go hunting, and Johnny had a really good dog, and I was off that day, so Johnny's at work, and I'm going to take off for just a 30-minute hunt. I grab 5 or 6 different shells for my shotgun. I could have killed a bear, a cougar, a squirrel, or a pigeon. I had a shell for every game. Anything that was going to get in my way, I could have done good. I would have done away with it. So I have all these shells in my pocket. I got the Johnette shotgun on my arm. I got Johnette's trusty dog. And that is it. No hat, no water, no compass, because I was only going to be 30 minutes. So if you know Rayburn around, you know, up there in that area, it's wooded. So I step out from the little trailer park we lived, and I started walking through the woods, and I found a little game trail, and I'm looking high and low, waiting for me to hear something. It's in the middle of the day. It's hot. All the animals are hunkered down, cooling off. I had no intentions of killing anything. I didn't want to have to eat whatever I shot. I realized, though, that I had gotten myself lost. I wasn't quite sure where I was. I wasn't panicked. I knew that I had Highway 69 on one side, 96 on one side, and I had another highway, 34, 35, whatever it was there. So I knew that I was bracketed. If I kept walking north forever, eventually I'd hit that highway. If I kept walking east, eventually I'd hit this highway. So I wasn't lost. I just wasn't where I wanted to be. After about an hour and a half, I realized I have no idea where I'm at. So now I started, because I'm just walking along, just walking quickly, trying to find my way home. My dog has abandoned me. My shells, I don't know where they are. I mean, I'm just barely dragging this shotgun behind me, and I'm tired, and I'm hot, and I'm thirsty. I start looking at the signs of, hey, wait a minute. Sun sets in the east. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Hey, I'll use the sun to find out where I am. It's noon or 12:45. I can't tell what time it is. Wait a minute, I know what. There's moss growing on the north side of trees, right? There's no moss up there in Rayburn. Hey, water travels south. Well, if there was water there, I wouldn't have been so thirsty. So I'm in a bad way. So I come across all these trails. There's these ATV trails, these motocross trails. There's these hiking trails. There's just all these trails for these motorized vehicles, but they're going every which way that I'm seeing, and I can't figure my way out. And finally, I am just desperate because I'm following these trails and they come to like a dead end. And then I follow another one and it comes to a dead end or it comes to a big thicket. Then I stopped and then I thought, hey, wait a minute. I've been trained. I've got some knowledge. My first job, first real job in the world, I was a tire salesman and a tire installer for Sears. I know tire treads. I know ATV tire treads. I sold them. If I would have been paying just a little close more attention to the trail I was on, I could have seen the signs, because all ATV tire treads have a certain pattern that's similar that point the direction that it's going. So once I realized that all I had to do was find that last tire track and look at it and see what direction it was going, I started following it. And I followed it and followed it. And within 35 minutes, I'm thinking, I've got to be close to coming home. And I hear this bark of a dog. Oh, thank you. That was my wife's dog. He's barking because he can hear me mumbling to myself, I got to get home. John, it's going to be mad. There's just this wall of thicket, and I finally work my way through the thicket, and I step through this, and I step out, and I look, and 100 feet is my house. That's embarrassing. I'm not good with directions. But the fact that I had been trained in the understanding of selling a tire tread, that's what got me out, because there was tracks everywhere. I kept following just tracks. I had to take a closer look and look down at those tracks to see what that track meant. And it wasn't until I took a moment of pause and started looking at something a little closer, then I saw the sign. As the Bible is our compass, if you understand this Bible, it's hard to be confused if you spend just a little more time at it. You can't just break it open once in a while for Sabbath school or once in a while on a Wednesday night Bible study. You really need to let this be, that's your GPS, that's your SIM card, that's your connection. Today's world is focused upon labeling things as it wishes to be and not acknowledging it for what it truly is. I fear for my children. Because at my age, I saw the Leave It to Beaver. I saw, you know, the Andy and Mayberry show. That was a show that I watched. I watched shows where it was all about wholesomeness. My children, they are bombarded with everything but that. The world that I lived in, most of y'all could probably figure this out. I probably wasn't the best kid in school. Many of you probably figured out that I was a kid that most parents didn't want their kids hanging out with. I was that way. When I look at what we measure what a bad kid is now, I wasn't so bad. No, I would hang out with me in a heartbeat opposed to some of the hooligans that I see running around now in this world. There's no shame. I would at least say yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you, and then do something bad. But I would say I'm sorry. It's terrible. We see today in this world social and political correctness. Society is changing truths for falsehood. Up is down and down is up. In years past, people gave their opinion based upon what they truly believed as truth. They may not have been correct, but they believed it and they lived it. Today, people, there are people out there that know it's not truth. They know it's a lie, and they still keep propagating it and sending it out there because it fits their agenda. They don't care if they mislead you. They just want you to be standing in a certain spot when it's all over with. How you got there, they don't care. Why you got there, they don't care. They just want you standing in this spot. And you better not say anything while you're standing there too. Just like it. Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to war with the remnants of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If we don't understand that we must stay the path and not waver, the dragon can distract us. So if we're using the Bible as a compass to guide us in our daily lives, we can have assurance. Do know when you are reading this and you're believing this and you're following this, you're on Satan's hit list. You're not a friend of him, and he's looking to do whatever he can to cause you harm. The good news, because you've got this in your hand, there's nothing he can do to you to keep you from on your path. He can try, but he can't overcome it because you have faith. You're following the path. This is from Ellen White. The greatest want of this world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their innermost soul are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. There's ample proof that God is instructing us to use this book inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's get some references. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he who opened their understanding, that they may comprehend the scriptures. All the scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are instructed to do concerning the scriptures is this. These men were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also not a few of the Greek, prominent women as well as men. And one more scripture. This just as easy could have been the scripture reading for today. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We have hope. There's nothing that the world can do, say to us, and I promise you, be prepared. You better pack this with you daily, because the world is preparing for you. The story of the wise men. I've got another story. The story of the wise men is generally told during the time of we celebrate Christ's birth. But the inside that story is something even more beautiful that it applies to us today. It prepares us for arrival of the very same man that they sought, but just in a different form. We find in the book of Desire of Ages by Ellen White a deeper insight in the journey of the Magi, these wise men. They also searched the scriptures and saw signs in the heavens, and they searched for truth and found it. Their journey brings them to the door of Joseph and Mary. I said to the door of Joseph and Mary, the wise men, the Magi. And their stories are an inspiration, and they should be an example to us all. How did they get to the door of Joseph and Mary? They looked for the signs. They studied. They desired more information. They wanted to have a closer relationship with God, and therefore they studied the scriptures that were available to them. For again, we must read the signs. We must understand that scripture is to be prepared for this same Jesus to come again. No, he will not come and we'll find him in the home of Mary and Joseph, but we will find him coming in the clouds. We will look up. When they say Jesus is in the desert, we will know that's a lie. When they say Jesus is in that dark room, we will know it's a lie. And we know it's a lie, not because I told you or your pastor told you or your sister told you. We know it because this told us. This is how we know to find Jesus, not by another person telling us where to find him. These Magi, these men, they were looking for signs. Are you looking for signs? Because that's what the scripture told them to do. So if the scripture told the Magi to look for signs, are you looking for signs? Is your head down or is your head up? They were prepared to be able to see. They were prepared to be able to see. Are you preparing yourself to be able to see? Are you filling your eyes and your heart and your mind with worldly things that if God sends you a sign, will you see it? Will you hear it? Are you in the right state of mind to understand it? The light of God is ever shining in the darkness of heathenism. As these Magi studied the starry heavens and sought to fathom the mysteries hidden in their bright paths, they beheld the glory of the Creator. Seeking clearer knowledge, they turned to the Hebrew Scriptures. And in their own land, there was treasured prophetic writings that predicted the coming of a divine teacher. Balaam. Balaam is a bad guy. He didn't start out as a bad guy. He started out as a prophet of the Lord. But now Balaam, he's one of the magicians. But at one time, as a prophet of God and by the Holy Spirit, he foretold the prophecy of Israel and the appearing of the Messiah. And his prophecies had been handed down by tradition from century to century. And that is some of the references that these Magi used. They knew to look for a coming Savior. But in the Old Testament, the Savior's advent was clearly revealed. The Magi learned with joy that his coming was near and that the whole world was to be filled with knowledge and the glory of the Lord. It's our turn. It's your turn to be that light. It is our turn. It is your turn to be looking up and searching scriptures for the truth. Because we all have a responsibility not just to get ourselves in the right place, but you know what? Shame on us if we don't have people that are sharing heaven with us because we didn't have something to do with that. Are we sharing it with our family members and our co-workers and our neighbors and our friends? Are we doing that? Are we part of the Magi searching for the great deliverer? Are we still sitting in that pasture watching sheep eat and wondering, that sure seems like a bright star up there? We need to be asking questions. We need to be delving in and finding answers. For as we focus on those things that are true and worthy, and we face ourselves in the direction of the true light, and we may also shine a light for others as we stand and do not fear what the world delivers us. We will not fear what the world delivers us. What we fear is what the Lord desires of us and us fail to do so. We got to be engaged. We must be a light. We must show ourselves to be a standard. What the world and society is promoting now only took place, like I said, in dark rooms, dark corners, and out of sight. But today, all those things that were hidden, all those things that were done under the darkness, undercover, they've all been exposed, and people hold them up as just an option. I'm not a fan of the word option, not in this reference. The Bible does not teach options. There's only one way. There's only one path to heaven. And this book tells us about it. There are not options in this world. Either you are or you aren't. Either you are or you aren't. If you'd like to be, you aren't. I know some people that can fill a pew and they're always here regularly, but they're not giving their life to Christ. They're just checkmarking that thing. Well, I need to show up between 11 and 12:20, and then I'm out of here. And then 6 days later, they'll do it again. It's not my intention to put fear into anyone, but it is my desire to inspire us to be prepared. Oh, if this church could be on fire if we aspire to be prepared. Little known fact, we've lived this last 14 months, and we've had all these statues torn down. All these people that our country was built upon, their names are on our Constitution, and they've been besmirched. All that's going on. At the base of the Washington Monument, inside one of the cornerstones, was a Bible placed inside that in the early 1850s. Placed there because our country was based upon this premise. Can you envision today any building being built having this being part of it today? I think not. It'd be real hard for me to you convince me that some sort of structure of any importance would be built with this being part of that cornerstone. That's not the world we live in now. Let me close. Let us stay the course our Father desires for us and be a light or a needle to the pole for others to see. Let me close with prayer. Father, I ask that you give us that strength that we be prepared to see, prepared to hear, and prepared to do. Father, remove from us our desire to want to fit in, our desire of hating to be discomforted or put out of place or inconvenienced. Father, inspire us with the want that we should understand that heaven is eternity and earth is just a blink of an eye. Let the message ring true. Let your word be known. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.